This is Wisconsin Today.
Wisconsin is the global epicenter of a vegetable with a first recorded use over 3,000 years ago. It's horseradish.
Hunzinger Farms in Eau Claire has been around for nearly a century and labels itself as the world's largest grower and processor of horseradish.
At the tail end of harvest season, we take a tour of the farm as it transitions to winter. Mackenzie Crummy reports.
It's fairly loud in here today. We're washing horseradish at the moment, so.
Are we going to wash some horseradish?
You want to?
Heck yeah!
I'm at the Hunzinger Farm on Eau Claire's south side. We are in a warehouse where the smell of their signature vegetable, horseradish, is pungent. I'm with
Kyle Beckel. I'm the farm manager here at Hunzinger Farms.
This century-old family business tags itself as the largest grower and processor of horseradish in the world. They farm nearly 1,000 acres of horseradish annually. And this root crop is in the ground anywhere from 12 to 24 months. If you've never seen raw horseradish before, it's difficult to describe.
I would best describe it as almost like an octopus-looking type of root. So there's a main root, and then there's secondary roots that kind of branch off of that main root, anywhere from 6 to 24 inches long, and anywhere from a pound to, we've had some roots upwards of 5, 6, 7 pounds.
Washing is the final step before the horseradish is sent for processing to be ground and made into sauces. 5 people are in front of the conveyor belt inspecting the root by hand.
The horseradish is washed in here, and then it comes out here onto this belt for a final sort.
And so how much horseradish do you think goes through this belt in a day?
In a day, anywhere from 10 to 40,000 pounds a day.
After washing, we move to one of the 2 root coolers. This is where the horseradish is stored. Between the 2 buildings, there's around 4 million pounds of horseradish.
What are you doing right now? You peeling off the edge?
Peeling the skin off the radish for you, you to try some.
Are you going to try some too?
I sure can.
Is it going to be spicy?
It should be spicy.
Are we going to do this together?
Cheers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I think I took too big of a bite.
Yeah, this stuff has a little heat in it.
It's like kind of coming through your nose.
Very pungent.
Oh, my. A little nibble I took. But it tastes good, though.
Yeah, this is very good.
Your eyes are watering.
Yeah. Plenty of heat in this root.
Kyle says the strong flavor is actually a defense mechanism the vegetable produces to deter animals from eating it. The crop and its life cycle are so unusual, but so is the machinery. Here's Kyle describing the planting machine, which is an altered potato planter.
All of the seed that we make during our sorting process gets boxed up and set up on top of that platform, and as the planter drives through the field, there's a little bell on there that dings. This is a ground-driven bell chime, I guess you'd call it. So that's about how fast they're dropping seed right there. So we plant roughly 7,000 seeds per acre.
Wait, hold on. So yeah, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seats literally on the planter. And a person sits in that and drops an individual seed down the tube.
Yep.
Every time.
Yep, 8 seats. 8 people planting and then one guy up moving the boxes around, keeping seed stock in front of everybody, and then another guy driving the tractor. So it's a 10-person process.
Like potatoes, the seeds of horseradish are snippets of the plant, and Kyle said people are cutting roughly 4 million seeds annually.
I mean, I had no idea that this farm existed. Like, when people come to do tours, are they like, oh, global epicenter of horseradish, who knew?
Yeah, we do get that reaction. People know about the horseradish, but they don't realize, I think, everything that goes into it, you know, all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I think that's true for most products that you consume. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that people don't realize go into it.
Mackenzie Crummy, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Special thanks to Sarah Hopeful for technical direction. Now we turn to Eric Rigg, president of Silver Spring Foods in Eau Claire and the fourth generation to run Hunzinger Farms. Eric, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good to be here.
Well, we just learned a lot about a horseradish in its current form. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of horseradish? Been around for a long time, used as food and medicinally, I understand. Give us a little history of horseradish 101.
Yeah, horseradish has been around for a long time. And actually, I'll tell you a little story about the name. Horseradish kind of grew by the Black Sea, and the Germans called it Meerrettich, which means sea radish. And we believe that the English, a long, long, long time ago, misinterpreted Meerrettich as in female horse radish. And so that's why we kind of stuck with this name of horseradish. It has really nothing to do with horses, and it's not even a radish. It's a root.
It was surprising to me to learn that we have such a big player in the horseradish business here in Wisconsin. Can you tell us, take us back to, 1929 and how this farm got started and then how it went into horseradish?
Yeah, so our farm, Hunsinger Farms, was started by my great-grandfather, Ellis Hunsinger, in 1929. We are this year celebrating 95 years as a family business. I am a fourth-generation horseradish farmer. But Ellis, when he started, you know, was actually just falling back on farming. That's what his parents did. He was a door-to-door lightning rod salesman here in Eau Claire area at the time. And I think there's only so many repeat customers you can get on lightning rods. So he fell back on farming. This is, you know, again, right before the Depression. He started growing on a little bit of land here in Eau Claire, and he grew like everyone else. You know, some of the typical crops you'd expect, some strawberries and some potatoes and melons and corn and horseradish. Horseradish, I think he started because of his kind of German background. Hunsinger is German, and he married a kind of Scandinavian, Norita. And so I've got kind of a German and Norwegian a mix. But anyhow, the horseradish was what really took off. One of the cool things about horseradish for this area is he was able to grow it all year long, pull it out of the ground, and he could sell it during the winter months. So it was really for economics that kept him alive. And horseradish really flourished in this area. We are near the 45th parallel here. And so we're kind of just, the climate is about perfect. Horseradish likes cold weather to kind of bulk up for the winter. And if you get into some more southern regions, a lot of the energy goes into growing these big, beautiful green leaves, which we actually don't do anything with. We want a big, hardy, bulky root underneath the soil. So the winters here are great for horseradish. If you get too far north, then the growing season isn't long enough to develop a suitable crop. So we're kind of in the perfect place, soil type for the horseradish that we grow here.
I gotta ask, you're a kid growing up in a horseradish family. Like, did you instantly love it, or was it kind of an acquired taste over time?
No, I did not absolutely love it all the time. In fact, my dad grew up on a dairy farm up in Washington State, and their family made ice cream. I learned that the Rigg family had sold the dairy, and we weren't going to be making any ice cream anymore, but we were going to keep the horseradish side going. And I, as a 12-year-old, thought, you know, this doesn't make any sense. Let's keep the ice cream and get rid of the horseradish.
First of all, what I call the whoosh, right? That feeling of strong horseradish, and it just explodes in your sinuses. That's part of the fun. What's causing that?
Great question. So we actually would call that the zing, and we developed a heat index for horseradish called the zing factor. I was so curious about, you know, what was actually going on in the horseradish to give it that zing that we ended up putting in the research and development to create our own heat index. Think of it like Scoville units, how they measure peppers and the capsaicin in peppers and how hot a jalapeno is relative to a habanero. Well, we developed that index for horseradish. Totally different chemical than capsaicin. The chemical in horseradish that burns your nose and makes your eyes water that we love so much is called allyl isothiocyanate. It's a mouthful, but basically the more of that in there, the hotter the product will be. And it is the plant's defense mechanism. So the horseradish root itself isn't hot. If you pull it out of the ground, cleaned it up a little bit and put a little bit in your mouth, it wouldn't burn you. What happens is if you start chewing on it, it releases this enzymatic reaction that generates this allyl isothiocyanate, this zing factor. So the more you chew it, the more it releases this blast. So when we are grinding the horseradish, we're basically mimicking that chewing process. We're breaking it down, creating all this heat, and then we're trying to encapsulate that with the vinegar that we use to kind of stop that reaction from happening. Preserve that heat And one of the things with horseradish is that it is not like wine. It does not get better with age. It is the hottest the day we grind it, and it loses a little bit of its heat every day after that. So one of the things to do with horseradish is check the code date, look for fresh products, and make sure you're using it before it loses its zing factor.
Eric, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Eric Rigg is president of Silver Spring Foods in Eau Claire and the fourth generation to run Hunsinger Farms, which is the world's largest grower and processor of horseradish. Earlier in the program, we heard from farm manager Kyle Beckel.